Hi everyone, welcome back to the Indian Music Charts podcast. This is a show where we break down the hits and analyze trends in the Indian music industry. This week we're discussing a much debated topic, the lack of female representation on the music charts. We'll be looking at the current state of affairs which has led to this, why, and what we as an industry need to do. But first, as always, let's look at the key movements on this week's chart.
Quickly going through the key moments, the highest new entry this week at number 9 is Drippy by Sidhu Moosewala, Mercy and A.R. Besley. A climber we want to call out, because we discussed this at length last week, is Akhiyan Gulab from Teri Baaton Mein Uljha Gaya, a mouthful every time that you have to say it. But it's climbing up from number 9 to number 4. This track is by Mithras, and this was released independently, then synced to the movie. Our last episode, we actually did have a guest on board, and we discussed at length what makes for a good sync. If you haven't heard that yet, go through this episode and then go back and listen to it, because this is a topic we want everyone to listen. The chart topper at number 1, honestly, no change, 9th week in a row, is the track from Animal, Pehle Bhi Main. The big climber that has actually inspired this week's conversation has moved up from number 49 to 24. The track Koisi by Afsana Khan Nirman, which has been released by Sky Digital. And Amit already has given you a little bit of a tease on what it is that we are discussing. And in fact, the lack of female representation is something we also called out in our year-end special when we did the 2023 episode. And we did call out that there was zero female solo artists on the top charts. And we will get into the why of this and the how do we make things better of it. But I think we do need to talk about the current state of the union, right? So Amit, can you maybe talk us through this?
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the track number 24 by Afsana Khan, it's actually the one of the few songs by a female solo artist in the top 200. It's the highest ranking at number 24. And, you know, the thing is that actually the last year has been a pretty good one for female artists overall. You know, the Grammys just happened last week and it was a huge year. Most of the nominees in the top 3 awards, Album of the Year, Record and Song of the Year, the nominees were mostly women and the awards also went to women. This year, the entire top 4 awards were swept by female artists. Even the Best New Artist went to Victoria Monet, which means that it was a rare year and a big change for the Grammys, which until recently, fairly recently, got called out for, you know, not having enough gender representation. Mm-hmm. And it was a pretty good year for women on the international charts too. I mean, even in the UK, where they have the Brit Awards, where the nominees, I think some of them are based on the charts, there's a big number of like female artists nominated. And on both the global chart and the US chart, actually, it was a big, big year for female artists. You know, Miley Cyrus had one of the biggest songs of the year with Flowers. Taylor Swift had like the biggest year of her career and a whole bunch of other acts. However, this was not the case in India, where, as you mentioned, we pointed out in our year-end special, you know, no female artists appeared in the top year-end top 10. In fact, in the year-end top 50, they were nowhere to be seen. Female artists only appeared as duet partners in 15 of the top 50 or 30% of the songs. And the rare exception was Justine Royal, who actually was a lead composer. And she had like, you know,
this is for Hiriye.
And composer for Hiriye and for Anja, you know, left over from previous years. But here's the thing. In both those songs, she had a male artist as a duet partner. So it wasn't a solo.
It still wasn't the solo. Still in the solo truest sense.
And, you know, I went back and actually checked the year-end. You know, we were looking at the year-end top 50 for, like, 2023. But I went and looked back at the year-end top 10s from, like, 2020, 2021, and 2022. Mm-hmm. Again, same scene. No solo female acts. And as you know, I even tracked this on another level wherein I maintain the sheet, Google sheet of like Indian independent albums and EPs.
The famous sheet.
Yeah, the famous sheet. Google sheet. Yeah. And I just want to talk about 2023. I'm not even going to go further back, but in 2023, out of the albums, and I tracked, like, this is all I can like personally track on, you know, on an individual level, but out of the 144 albums that I have a catalog there, only 11 were by solo female artists. That's less than 8%. things are a little better when it comes to EPs. Out of 197, 27 were by solo female artists, and if you include non-binary or queer artists, it moves up to 29, so about 14 to 15%. But still, really, like, not exactly a great scene, right? Overall, and you can
And this is
see.
literally the supply side of the equation, where it's not even about the charts, it's not even about giving a platform. This is literally releases coming out into the world, right?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, so you can tell that, that in a year that it was really great for women, globally, or at least looking at the US and UK, things have not changed at all in India, which is really sad. But, I wanted to ask you, just like, we talk about how things are, this is it's not a great scenario, but just on a very sort of, larger perspective level, why does better representation matter for the industry? I mean, just to be very clinical about it.
And I think we should be clinical about it, right? Is there a moral imperative that the businesses that we build and the art that we create should be a reflection of the world? In the sense, should it reflect the same gender diversity that exists in the natural world? 100% yes, right? But I don't even want to approach this from that moral standpoint, because ultimately I think we are going to get a lot of, hey, this is a business, and it's all basis on merit. It's really not about what gender you're born into. So I'm going to address it from that angle, because that is the one that gets like spoken the most, right? And if it's literally looking at this from a business point of view, there is every reason that we need to be more diverse, okay? And we actually looked up a couple of studies, right? To and again, there are not a lot of studies done in the Indian context, so whatever we're sort of giving you are studies that are either allied, that is, they are music studies done in another part of the world, or they are from the field of entertainment, where at least directionally you can say that is it a positive correlation or a negative one. And the first one that I kind of want to call out is in 2019, USC Annenberg did this study where they looked at the 1300 top films between 2007 and 2019. Okay. And the study found that movies that had a diverse cast, by this, what they mean is 51% of the cast were people of color, they actually saw better box office results. And honestly, this is a no-brainer if you really think about it a little bit more, right? Because every time you see someone who looks like you or has a background that is similar to yours, we as an audience suddenly have a reason to go check something out, right? Like, I honestly would not really watch superhero movies as such, okay? But when Miss Marvel came out, I saw it because, yes, it's a brown girl in the lead, but also like all the sync deals, right? Like Orit Wiz had something, like Ali Sethi had something. So the second you see representation, even though you may not even be a regular consumer of this kind of entertainment, at least by curiosity, you're opening the gates for more kind of people to experience art, right? So it
Yeah,
makes
and
sense.
I think the classic example from 2023 is Barbie, right? I mean, Barbie was the biggest box office hit of the year and an absolutely female-centric film,
Exactly, right? And it opens up the doors in other ways also. Like, for example, a lot of people who never experienced Barbie, right? For example, why would my male friends have ever played like with a Barbie, unless that was their area of interest? But most of them that I know, at least, were all G.I. Joe people, okay? They were firstly vehemently against going for this movie, but I dragged them along. But in the bargain, they realized, okay, this is actually an entertaining movie, and you're really opening up new audiences in many ways, right? And that is
I
one
mean,
reason.
honestly, for me, I mean, I just to sort of have that to give you a little bit of perspective, like, I wouldn't have gone for Barbie if anybody else but Greta Gerwig had directed it, because to me, it was more about the director, and she happens to be a female director, but her gender is not something that I'm consciously thinking of. But I like her work as a director, and I knew that if she's doing a Barbie movie, I wouldn't have, like, gone anywhere close to a Barbie movie if it was like a standard, like, somebody very conventional was doing it. But once I knew she was doing it, I knew that it was going to be subversive. I knew it was going to be different. And when the trailer came out, I mean, you kind of knew that, this is, I mean,
It's existential. It's not
it's
what
a
you
little,
think it to be,
it's a little myopic to think, okay, it's Barbie. So on the surface level, obviously, many guys would not be interested in it. But I think the minute you add a little bit of context, you know, I mean, I went with like obviously my nieces and like cousins and aunts and my brother and our nephews. Like we made a little family outing of it, and my nephews, of course, didn't like it. I mean, they're
The
14-year-old
subtext might have
boys.
been too much subtext for
Yeah,
them.
but my 14-year-old niece loved it, you know. So.
And it's really about just opening up the opportunities, right? And here we're talking about bringing in new audiences. Let's also talk about the fact that not enough women artists are there in the industry, okay? Role models are actually important. Everything about science points towards this, right? Like there are studies that say that, women who work in STEM, they were more likely to get into that field if they knew someone in their family or they knew someone else who also pursued that career. Again, this is no brainer. You actually do not need research to tell you this, right? That you see that something is possible, you're like, okay, let me try this, right? And we need more female pop stars, literally, to attract more female fans. And again, I'm not getting into the moral side of this, saying that, listen, we need more female fans at events, or we need more female fans to be invested in the music industry. I am just telling you, as a girl, we spend a lot more than guys. Okay. Amit, do you know what a Dyson is?
A Dyson, a vacuum cleaner, isn't it a brand of vacuum cleaner?
They do make vacuum cleaners, okay. But they also make very high-end hair dryers, and they make something called an air wrap, okay. That thing costs 45,000 rupees. I
Wow.
spent on that, okay. So I'm just saying, women, if they're really fans of something, they will really, really spend, right? And this is just not me and my Dyson, there are many women who do this. But coming back to music, right? Like you mentioned Taylor Swift, right? There are enough and more studies about how this year she's literally driving the US economy, right? There was one very interesting study which I picked up from Amplify Her Voice. This is a page on Instagram, but they're an NGO, but they do really great work of spotlighting studies, right? And they had this piece that they're done called The Power of the Female Dollar. And they pointed out that when Taylor Swift went to Chicago, hotel occupancies went up to 98%, and it generated $2.6 million in revenue. Same study, when Beyonce went to Chicago, and for some reason all of this is happening in Chicago, I don't know why, but shopping sales went up by 17%, restaurant sales went up by 14%, right? You can literally increase the value of not just the industry, but allied parts of the industry when you're welcoming women into it, because the fact is, we spend on more things than the average male, right? Which includes products, things are like hotels. I will guarantee you travel with a female friend, you have to take a better hotel. You cannot go to a 3-star hotel. I'm sorry, we need better accommodation. But that brings more money into the economy of that city overall,
And even just looking at merch, I mean, K-pop, where a majority of the fans happen to be female, I mean, that one, that sort of industry survives so much on, like you said, the power of the female dollar or, you know, currency, because so much, so the different kind of, they release like 20 versions of the same album, and like they'll buy all of them, you know.
Exactly. And it's also nothing new, right, to K-pop. I think female fans have really driven the music industry right from the time of the Beatles, right? We've seen those old videos. Who was in the front row, right? And the thing is, again, and the one thing that perplexes me, Amit, is that all these studies are available, okay? And a lot of these things, you don't need studies. Like I said, they're very, I to me at least, they are common sense if you just sit down and think a little bit about it, right? But despite that, we are still sort of seeing that representation is not where it should be for the value that it can deliver to the industry. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I think we have to first contextualize things a little bit, and you know, the same body that you mentioned, the USC Annenberg Inclusion, who had done this inclusion initiative, and they do this on an annual basis. They actually study the year-end Billboard Hot 100 charts, much like we study the Spotify, you know, year-end charts.
Hey,
And
so are you saying we are an institute? I agree.
I think so in some way. And they've been covering it for 12 years, and they've analyzed like 1200 songs. And they not only do artists, but also songwriters and producers. And they actually found that, again, like we mentioned earlier in the show, 2023 was actually really great year for women. But now, again, what do we mean by great? The percentage of women artists reached 35%, okay? Nowhere close to 50%, a 12-year high. And it actually reflects 2 years of consecutive change. But when you look at bands and duos, nothing has changed. Basically, it's individual women artists who sort of occupied 40% of the spots on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. And this actually increased from 35% the previous year. Producers, on the other hand, nothing has also reached a high. But guess what? It's only 6.5%. And
God.
this moved up from 4.9% in 2019. When it comes to songwriters, it moved up to 19.5%, up from 14.1%.
Okay,
So
that's
things
still,
are improving.
yeah.
Yeah, but like you can see, things are improving, but not not much. And I think then there's another university study similar, which called the Music Gender Gap, why so few women make the US pop charts. According to them, basically, there's a number of reasons, including the fact that women have limited access to funding and resources. They struggle to access things like grants and studio time compared to their male counterparts. And of course, they have to deal with things like sexual harassment and discrimination. I think the fact is that there are just fewer female acts on the charts because the overall pool is lower. I mean, Chartmetric, this other chart analysis organization, recently released their year in music report, and they tracked 9.7 million artists. And they found that out of those who use she and her as pronouns, they amount to only 18%, as opposed to those who use he and his, which was 77%. So more than four times, right? So, I mean, that is not exactly answering your question, but it is kind of like, sort of it just tells you the state of things and how things haven't changed. And yeah, I'm obviously, I think we've come down to the why it hasn't happened yet. But here's what I will tell you that what I think why it hasn't happened in India. I think the reason why it hasn't happened in India yet is because the fact is that you have to look at it right from the top, right? In Bollywood, there have been studies about this also, wherein they tracked like Bollywood songs for the last 20 years, and they found that the number of female solo songs themselves have completely declined, right? And the study was done, I think, about 5 years ago. So, I mean, it's not even a new study. And you don't see songs being made like female singers. I mean, heroines are not
Is
given
the
solo singles.
female gaze missing in Bollywood?
So that's the weird thing, right? So you have a lot of more women directors. You have a more, sort of female-centric films, but the music still very much seems to be that, I mean, if you come put it down to somebody like the dominance of somebody like Arijit Singh or something like that, wherein to increase the chances of being a hit. I mean, they found that even when the song was being sung by a female artist's perspective, by a heroine's perspective, by the female protagonist's perspective, it was a male singer singing it, So you're starting there. Well, and if you're saying Bollywood is the largest or the I don't really know much about the other industries, so I'm not going to comment there. But definitely, when it comes to Bollywood, like right at the top, you're not seeing female artists being given solo tracks, right? You're seeing them given duet tracks at best, or like I said, male solo singles, and you can see that all over the charts. And then I think there is some kind of trickle down influence into other industries, mainly the pop industries at a label level. That said, it's not like labels don't have many of female artists on their roster. There are plenty of them, right? It's not even like you don't have support from DSPs, for instance. Like Spotify have things like Equals, their female artist campaign. But just like look back to the 1990s, where there were plenty of songs by female artists, solo female tracks, like Alka
Yeah, they
Yagnik.
used to dominate the charts.
Yeah, and ruling like even YouTube today because of that, and the pop scene, indie pop scene, right? Our context for like this, the biggest artists. I mean, there was an equal number of huge female artists for every Dilair Mehndi, Lucky Ali. There was an Alisha Chennai. There were so many others that were dominating that right
Yeah, we
back.
also had girl groups later. I mean, not in the 90s, in the 2000s, right?
Yeah, there were plenty of girl groups.
Yeah.
There were things that artists that you wouldn't even remember. There was a group called Models, I remember, who had just one or two songs, and there were so
Oh
many
no,
things.
I'm not
You
aware.
had Viva, you had Viva,
Viva,
and you
correct,
had
exactly.
you know and then of course we all know that it got co-opted by Bollywood. But now what I find is that what's happening today with labels is they're trying to manufacture pop stars. You know, I think there was maybe something about the 1990s where the manufactured pop star, I'm not saying even the indie pop guys were not manufactured to an extent, but I do feel that today everybody's trying too hard to, you know,
Make it a hit.
make it a hit. And if I look at it, just look at our indie scene or independent scene or slightly crossover scene, like who are the biggest acts, right? If you have artists like Divine, you have artists like Ritviz, Anuj Jain, Pratik Kuhad, all of them have been allowed to have their own personalities. Whether we look at the female artists that have been trying to propped up, I'm not going to name any names, but there is a similarity in the way that they're marketed and presented, right? They all have this certain
And there are
image.
definitely studies also about this, right? About like there's a certain expectation or stereotyping of what is the idea of a female artist. And you're very true. Sometimes having this unique personality, right? It's very important because what do fans gravitate towards? A personality, right? Obviously the music, but on top of it, there is a personality. And I'll tell you why I'm bringing this up, because there is one female artist who I do genuinely think has done a great job of having a personality and letting it shine through with her social media. It's Kayan, okay? And it also really reflects in her ticket sales. And when I say she has a personality, is the personality cats? Yeah, about 65%. All the girls are following over cats. Like, I
No, but
literally, my
like,
first conversation with her was
you know,
about Patta Gobi cat.
I love Kayan. I think she has an amazing voice. I actually liked her work in her the band that she was in. I thought like she's just an incredible voice. But her current music, I mean, is it that she's getting booked more as a DJ sometimes? I also feel that sometimes she's getting booked as much as a DJ as a live act.
It's, I would say, okay, and I'm talking from a ticket sales point of view. Yes, she gets booked more as a DJ, but that's just the nature of the industry, right? It's easier to book a single person. Her whole band, that tends to happen at, let's say, like a Lola or like a bigger event, right? But even amongst those, like she's actually able to drive ticket sales. And this is something I'll come to a little bit later. There's also certain work that she and her management have done towards this, right? They've really made it a very compelling live experience, which then in turn also pushes promoters to want to book her again and again multiple times. So there's a little bit of a catch 22 over here, but to sort of echo your point, that personality, building it out through your social media, right? You know, sharing who you are, what is it that makes you with your fans so that they gravitate towards you. That fandom building is very, very important, and it's a crucial aspect of how we are going to be able to make more female pop stars.
Yeah, and I think another good example, somebody like Mally. Mally has again, you know, worked on building a fan base, and you know, I know she has a very loyal fan base. You know, and just again, years of thing, you know, great songwriting, being authentic, combination of those. But again, we're talking about the charts right now, and unfortunately, neither Kayan or Mally has got the charts. And again, the reason why, now coming down to the reason why that hasn't happened, my theory is that. Again, if you look at all the examples that I cited of the male artists that have managed to cross over from the independent scene, whether it's a Divine, Ritviz, Pratik, or Anup, they all sing in Hindi, you know. And we haven't seen a Hindi pop singer, a female pop singer, really, you know, come forth. We've had some who are like from Bollywood that are trying to sort of have, you know, sort of be in both worlds. So cannot like have to sort of discount them. But if you just look at, you know, the song that started off our discussion, which is Koisi by, you know, Afsana Khan. Now, she is number 24, the highest ranked song, and she's from the Punjabi pop film, pop Punjabi pop industry. The next highest song, you have to go all the way down to number 105. It's called Chandigarh Ka Chokra. It's by Sunanda Sharma, also from the Punjabi pop scene. And then when you go further down at number 90, 109, 119 is Jale Tu by Shiva Chaudhary, Haryanvi song. So I think you're seeing a pattern here. You're seeing that other industries, like the Punjabi pop industries, again, huge number of male artists, but some female artists have also managed to make that, you know, sort of because the Punjabi pop is an independent scene, as we've discussed many times, is more mature, it's been around for longer. They have managed to breakthrough and getting the streaming numbers, because again, come down to the factors, you know, charts are about mass audiences. If you're singing in Hindi or a regional language, you have a much higher chance of, you know, being cracking the charts. And another big example of course, Renuka Pawar, the another Haryanvi singer, who had that billion streaming song, Baban Gaj Ka Daman. And then if you go further down in the Indian charts, I mean, this week's chart, and number 161 is Greedy by Tate McRae, an international artist. So you're seeing all these different sort of examples of solo female artists who happen to be on the charts, but then none from, like, say, Bollywood, none from the pop music,
Hindi
pop,
pop
scene, neither from the Hindi pop and neither from the indie scene. So I think that just why, I think one key thing is that labels have just not been innovative enough when it comes to, you know, sort of, when it comes to supporting female pop artists or female artists of any genre and allowing them to...
Supporting is the right word, you know. I feel like, and this is a little bit of a controversial opinion. I think the support is there, okay? I really don't... I am yet to meet the head of any label who says that, oh, I don't want to support women. They all want to do it, okay? They all are doing whatever they can. But I think a concerted effort is what is missing, you know?
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think support is the wrong word. I think that they have, I mean, we're sort of repeating ourselves, but I think they have an image of what a female pop artist needs to be like. And they stick very much with that image. They don't allow... I sounds horrible, but what I'm trying to say is that there is no, I feel
there's no,
that
I think
a
we
lack
need
of imagination.
Lack of imagination. That's a good one. And like, you know, here's the thing, okay? And like, again, this might sound a little methodical, but in my experience, the only way to solve any problem, right, has been to state that this is the problem. This is the current state. This is where we want to go, okay? You have to define a goal, right? And I think we literally need to come together as an industry and say, listen, our goal is that in the top 50, we want to be able to create at least 10 solo female hits, right? This year. Next year, we want to make it 12. The year after that, we want to make it 18, right? And I'm telling you, this is actually the only way it is done. And so, yeah, I think, you know, ultimately, you can achieve things if you set a goal, and it has to be a measurable goal, and you need to work towards it. And, you know, something that I sort of realized, so for those of you who don't know, I recently started a new job. I work with this company called TuneCore, okay? And it's owned by a major distributor called Believe. And one of the things that I learned, and it was pleasantly surprising for me, is that their workforce is 45% women. The thing that I also learned is that they actually actively think about this from an HR point of view, that they need to get to a certain number, which is 50-50. That's an ideal goal. But at some point, I'm sure this number was a single digit, right? So it is about putting that goal in mind and working towards it. And it is possible, right? And I will also say this, amongst the entertainment industries, I think music still, at least on the business side, is a little bit more diverse than other entertainment industries. But it doesn't mean we don't have a long way to go.
No, you know? The thing is, I think it really depends on which department you're looking at. Because if you look at all the labels, the legal departments are full of women. You look at marketing departments.
Legal, marketing,
women,
PR.
Yeah. But if you look at the top, the C-suite, and you look at the boards of all our industry organization, you will have to look very hard to find a female face in there. But, you know, so finally, maybe what are the steps do you think that can be taken to sort of make sure that we have women, apart from like these goals, like you're saying, that these goals would be like what, labels saying that we want to have this?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, labels need to do it at an individual level, because I think to ask for this to happen at a industry level, it's a little difficult to regulate also. But literally, I think, and again, this is going to be a little controversial, okay? And there are benefits to reservations, okay? And hear me out. I know people who are listening are like, what the hell? And I want to call back to a really nice scene that happens in Made in Heaven, which is the TV show that's on Amazon Prime. And this is one episode which is pictured on Radhika Apte, right? And she plays the role of a Dalit activist. And someone asks her, why do you need reservations, okay, if you want to be equal? And She brings up this really nice example where she says that, in a running race or a relay race, which, runs in a circle, why does the person on the outermost edge get a head start before the one on the innermost edge, right? It's because that person has a longer distance to cover. So if you actually want to make it the same distance for everyone, some people need to be given that little bit of a boost, right? Till the day it all becomes one starting point, right? So therefore, I do believe that we are at a point in time where that boost is required, okay? Whether that means funds or, early stage grants, right? Whether that means literally saying that, hey, you as a label, if you're releasing 100 releases incrementally every year, you need to be increasing diversity, right? And some of this also needs to be self-imposed, right? It's great that, platforms like Spotify have created, properties like Equal. While that is great and amazing, it also keeps women in one particular space, right? I would rather look at some of their bigger playlists and see how best we can include more women. And I'm sure they are doing it because I know they actively think about it. But
And
imagine this happening across the board.
I see this also at festivals, right? I mean, we've had a couple of festivals this year. Like Weekender said, we have an all-female stage main stage lineup, sorry. And Mahindra Blues had an all-female lineup, which is great, amazing initiatives. But the point is, like you're saying, it boxes women, right? Why can't you just aim for 50-50 representation and leave it at that, right? The whole idea of having these, special kind of like marketing propositions is where I think it also becomes a little problematic, because then it's like your classic Women's Day promotion.
You're right, but I will give props to even those initiatives at this point in time. It's a step in the right direction, but I think you're right. The ask is, we don't want a separate line, we just want the same starting point for everyone, right? And of course, this is on the side of the business. But I will also say this, that women artists, their managers also have a role to play, right? At the end of the day, it is a business. So you want to make sure that you're creating fandoms that are investing in your artists, right? So there are lessons to be learned over there. And, we really should not have to reinvent the wheel. If things have improved for the better in the West, let's look to them and take a page from their book and also implement it over here. That's where my head is at.
We're talking about last year having been great in the West, but these are cyclical. Who knows what this year is going to be like? Ultimately, it is a business, like you said. And even when you come to things like Bollywood, I mean, there was a time, an era where female artists were amongst the dominant, artists. So the idea, but again, you had one or two artists that were singing everything. That is not an ideal scenario, right? I mean, you need you need that circle, that pie to be bigger for everybody, whether it's women, whether it's artists from different socioeconomic backgrounds, from different backgrounds in general, more queer artists. I mean, I think we see everywhere people, we just don't see that enough on the charts. And yes, I mean, the music business is a business. So does that mean that we, ultimately all comes down to this is what the consumer wants, which is a classic excuse, right? It's not like we are not doing anything. It's the audience that doesn't want to listen to these tracks, right? So it becomes this vicious cycle where you don't, where, yeah, people only want to listen to Arijit, but if you don't offer them something else, how are they ever going to want to listen to anybody else? How are they ever going to want to listen to more solo female
Something to
tracks?
increase the supply to create the demand,
Exactly. I mean, we've said a bunch of things in this episode. If you agree with what we've said, disagree with what we said, always, hit us up, on Instagram or wherever you listen to us. So, and we'll be having another poll as usual
Obviously.
on Spotify if you listen to us there. And thanks for hearing us out, and we hope that a few months down the line, when we do another episode, we are talking about how things have improved. Until then, until our next episode, take